and welcome to the Pocket Gamer Podcast. It's episode number 503. My name is James Gilmore. It's going to be very sedate. And joining me in this sedentary episode, it's Rick Cowley.
Hello, hello.
Hi.
I'll try and muster some enthusiasm, but I'm also feeling quite sedate.
It's all right. This is going to be the ASMR episode. Because, as we mentioned last week, PGC London was this week. And we came back on Wednesday. We were there since about Saturday or Sunday. And we're all now hollow husks of our former selves. But in a good way, because we left it all on the floor, didn't we?
Indeed. Whatever that means. That doesn't sound like a good thing, James.
No, it means you gave all you have to give. I feel like it's a sports term where you say you left it all on the pitch or the field or whatever, you see.
That makes sense.
Because we were given it 110%, that impossible 110% people keep saying. That annoys me every time. And it was a good time. So if we met you there, and there were a few people who came up and said hello. Actually, there were a couple of people who came up and said, oh, the podcast, we listened to the podcast.
Huh.
And said hi to both of us. A gentleman called Ian turned up as well. One of them said he was going to DM me and hasn't slid in there yet, so I'll have to wait for that person to appear. But great to hear that people do listen to this show. Even more so that we had record attendance once again, well over 2,000 people rocking up over 2 days. So as you can imagine, it was a bit busy. And I saw some games, I talked to some great people from cool companies, and the best note I had, right? This is a bit inside baseball, but when you go to loads of game shows, as you end up doing, so if you've been to E3 or Gamescom or GDC or something like that, GDC is very much the developer-focused one, or the industry-focused one, rather. So it's all about the biz stuff, and less about showing off your new game, which is what Gamescom and E3 is. And so people go there and try and get meetings, and they try and encounter people who they could potentially, you know, make games with or publish or, you know, all that kind of slightly businessy stuff, but is essential to get those games made. And the feedback I heard was that in 1 hour of PGC, they did more business, made more connections, and got more useful stuff out of it than an entire 2 days of GDC.
Wow.
So that's nice to hear.
Yeah. It's good to know that we are actually doing something good for the business as a whole.
I say we. I mean, we're there in a capacity. The events girls, Sally and Catherine, who will shout out. You won't have heard them on the podcast, but they are legends in our lifetime at putting all this stuff together, because all we have to do is look after our own little bit, and they're looking after everything, and it's nuts. But if you ever do want to come to this show and know what we're prattling on about, because we mention them like 4 or 5 times a year, because that's where they are. Even if you're just there from a consumer point of view, if you're an indie dev, you can take part in the big indie pitch, which is where you come up and like show everybody your game. Whichever part of the industry you're involved in, there is something there for you. So it is worth it and a good time. But now I have no energy anymore. I'm afraid. It's not going to stop us.
I got home on Wednesday at about 12 o'clock, and I climbed into bed, and I thought, I have to keep working, because that is the nature of the job. But oh my god, if I could just fall asleep right now, it would be the greatest moment of my life.
It would. I saw I'd like sack the afternoon off, but then I went home and started immediately editing the MGA video, which is the first bit of the news that we'll be talking about, actually, alongside Mario Kart Tour's multiplayer beta, an update for Children of the Light, and a little bit of word on Shadowgun Wargames beta and the state of it. Plus, we've got new releases, including the likes of Grand Mountain Adventure, Retro Ball, Tetris, that App Store newcomer. I see big things in its future, and more. But first, the news. So, alongside Pocket Gamer Connects, we held the Pocket Gamer Mobile Games Awards 2020. This is the third time we've done the event. It's our own little Oscars or BAFTAs or whatever, except it's better than the Oscars because we vote for the right games. And we've got our big winner list up here. There are about 20-something categories. I've made a little video which shows you what it looks like to be there, but we've got like Best Indie Developers, Starbury Games, you've got the best publisher is Scopely, the guys behind the Star Trek Fleet Command, analytics and data tool stuff, App Annie, but Game of the Year, which I can't remember who voted for, there's a kind of panel, wound up being Call of Duty Mobile. Which I don't know if that's controversial or not. I'm not
I think
sure.
That panel was all sort of like industry insiders and stuff.
Yeah.
And I think in terms of like an industry impact, it's definitely made a mark.
Yes.
Because it's such a huge, huge game to have come to mobile and such a huge brand. and then it's actually done quite well at the same time in terms of like downloads and stuff. So, you know, it's it's justified. It's well deserved. I don't know about a critical standpoint if people really love it that much compared to a lot of the other games that were released on mobile this year, but
I guess. I mean, it wouldn't be my favourite, obviously, but no. I understand why something like that would win. And it is interesting because we've had loads of Call of Duty games on mobile, but never really the pure, uncut Call of Duty experience. Mm. It's always been either a very watered-down version of the game, or they've done something slightly different with it. It's got a top-down component, or, you know, it's about breaking and entering or something like that. It's never just been the full, inverted commas, game. So fair play to them. Not that Activision need any patting on the back or anything like
well
that.
Well done, Activision. Good job.
Wasn't good. What I did like to see was that Telling Lies won Best Storytelling, and that is a cracking wee thing. So you can see all the winners up on PG.com now. Go and have a look if you want to. Now, we talked about Mario Kart Tour's multiplayer beta before, and it was a closed beta. So even though it kicked off, I think it was late last year, people got access. It's only for a limited number of people. However, it is now open to everybody. So, if you want to jump on anytime between now and January the 29th, you will be able to have a go at Mario Kart multiplayer, which is, let's be honest, Mario Kart as it should be played. It's always been a bit weird to, I guess, assess that game, because despite the fact that it is very stripped down and people didn't like the controls and it's very rubber bandy and all the rest of it, it's really only been racing ghosts. It's never been proper actual multiplayer, and that's what Mario Kart is for.
Mm.
So, I haven't played it yet, not the multiplayer version, proper multiplayer. If you want to get on board, jump on now, and then they'll shut it off on the 29th, and then presumably it'll be released properly a month or two later, I'd imagine. Also, updated, Sky Children of the Light. We've got the Season of the Rhythm update. Have you been back to the game since it originally came out?
I have never played it.
Oh, ooh. Mm. Okay, did you like Journey and that sort of thing?
Yes. Yeah, I know it's that game company and they do all the pretty indie games and stuff. And I was interested in it. It just sort of came out while I was, you know, taking my break from the industry.
On sabbatical.
Sort of thing. Yes, exactly. So it completely passed me by. And it was surprised me when I saw it at the MGAs and I was like, oh, that came out. Oh.
Yeah. It's an easy sell because it's very, very, very Journey.
Yes.
It could be a sequel, you know, might as well be. But it has this, they've leaned much more into the online thing where you're dealing with other people all the time and there isn't the surprise of, oh my God, that person is an actual human. You sort of get the gist now.
Yeah.
But it was a lovely thing. I went back in again like a month or two afterwards to see what had changed, but I haven't been in this year or anything. And if you do hop back in, you've got this new season, the Season of Rhythm, gives you a whole bunch of stuff. Extra music sheets, new masks, hairstyles, 2 instruments, 6 expressions, a seasonal pendant, and 2 ultimate gifts. I don't even know what ultimate gifts are. The other thing is it gives you a nice little kind of winter overhaul, so everything looks all frosty and lovely. And there are some new events and stuff that are being thrown in as well, so you'll be celebrating the Lunar New Year. There's going to be a fireworks display today, 24th of January, so you can jump back in and have a look at that. It's still free to download, and it's still, we think, worth your time. Check out the reviews on PG. We also talked about Shadowgun War Games, I think it was last week, which is Shadowgun's answer to the hero shooter, the Overwatch and all of that. It's been in beta now for the last week, and our man Dave Aubrey has dived in to have a look at it, and it seems that early sentiments are promising.
Oh, good.
Yeah, he says the look, when we were talking about it last week, we're like, it looks very Overwatch. It's got that bright colours, you know, the orange and the yellow and all of that. And he has come out and said, yep, it's well Overwatch. Down to the colour scheme, the Willow character looks a bit like Tracer. The robotic character, Sarah, looks a bit like Zenyatta. And there's a lot of crossover there. And apparently you've got things like Jet has a time shift ability, which works the same as Wraith's phase ability from Apex Legends. So they are pulling stuff from all the popular hero shooters and smashing it all together. But at the same time, it's not surprising that they're looking to the console and PC successful games as inspiration.
Mm. I mean, Shadowgun did this pretty much exactly the same thing before with Shadowgun Legends, because that they and I'm fairly certain they themselves pitched it as it's Destiny but on mobile.
So 100%.
They know exactly what they're doing, but it'll be different enough that it'll be worthwhile of its own merits, rather than, I'm sure, like 6 months down the line we'll see it as not just an Overwatch ripoff and something a bit different.
I'm sure
because Madfinger are brilliant developers and they know how to do shooters on mobile pretty well, so
that is their bread and butter, all the way back to Dead Trigger, and which were the big successes for them initially. And until they release Overwatch Mobile, there's going to be that gap where people want, I want Overwatch, but I want it on mobile. People go, well, here you go then. That's what Oceanhorn was, really. It's, you know, we want Zelda, but on mobile, but it's not here yet. It's like, well, here you go then. Have this. And so it seems to be ticking all the boxes. Dave's very excited. It's very promising, solid shooting. And, you know, they've already proved themselves capable of doing FPS shooters and that. So it's not a surprise that it feels good, feels decent. But we'll have to wait and see now for them to release an open beta and then goes live. But we'll be watching it very, very closely. Finally, before we go into new releases, this sort of ties in with the new release stuff, which is Tetris. It's no longer under the umbrella of EA anymore. They are pulling the Tetris EA apps. Do you know the reason for this? Is this a license expiry thing? Is this EA falling out with the folks who own the IP? What's this all about?
I'm not hugely sure, because I asked EA and they didn't tell me anything. So there is an in-game message saying service will end on, I think it's April 23rd or something, for both Tetris 2011, as it's now called, and Tetris Blitz.
Yeah.
I went to EA and said, do you have anything to add? And they just sent me that exact same message.
Wow.
Okay, I see what you're driving at.
The actual quote is, the announcement says, hello Blitzers, we've had an amazing journey with you so far, but sadly, it's time to say goodbye. As of April 21st, 2020, EA's Tetris Blitz app will be retired and will no longer be available to play. Not even buy, available to play.
Yeah.
Because it's got an online component. So even if you bought this game, which people did a while back, you cannot play these games no more.
So it's because, I believe, last year, I think July-ish, developer Network has picked up the license for it.
Right.
And they secured, the wording at the time was that they secured exclusive rights to publish and develop new games based on the Tetris license. So that at the time, it didn't say anything about, you know, they now are the only ones who can publish Tetris on mobile, but it's certainly looking that way. Because now EA are shutting down both of their games, and Network was at the time, and still is, working on a game called Tetris Royale, which is basically going to be Tetris 99, but on mobile.
Yeah.
And they have just released Tetris, their own just basic version of the Tetris game.
They have indeed. That's part of the new releases. So Tetris 2011, I guess, which was one of the first ones that EA pushed out, and then they updated it with Blitz. All that stuff's going to be gone, and it has been superseded by it's just called Tetris under a different publisher. You can find it right now. I've downloaded it. I've played it. It is indeed Tetris. Like, what do you say? I only did it for 10 minutes just to see, and, you know, yep, Tetris. How many different ways can you remix that theme tune? 1,000, apparently. They're going to keep... they must run out of genres at some point. I'm waiting for the country kind of skiffle bluegrass version. I want that stuff. But it's not so much that the license has changed hands and so new people are going to make the game. That stuff happens all the time.
Mm.
It's the fact that when that happens, they now have to kill the old apps regardless of whether you've paid money for any of them, or regardless if you already downloaded it, it will cease to exist or work. It's like, it doesn't even need to be an online game or anything, but some of these ones are. So it's like, this just won't work anymore. And it goes back to an old thing we've talked on the show plenty of times about, which is, this is the digital world, and these games will now vanish, and it will be as if they were never there.
Yeah. So in this regard, I'm less concerned about that, because it is just Tetris.
Yeah.
Like, you will never be able to lose the original Game Boy version. That will always be around forever. Mm. So it's not like we're losing a huge part of gaming history.
No.
With EA's 2011 version of Tetris being pulled from stores.
I don't think anyone was calling it the definitive version or anything.
No, exactly. I was looking at comments and it was sitting at a staggering 3.4 stars on Google Play last time I checked, and people moaning about our mobile isn't the best place to play Tetris. You know, no, it's not a huge problem. It is always sad that a game is getting pulled and we'll never speak of it again kind of thing, but it's interesting that clearly EA and Network have sort of hashed something out. Because the timing is not coincidental that EA, on the day it said we're closing our games down, then was replaced by a Network game.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's an interesting sort of like change of hands that you don't really see with licenses. You know, usually you'd wait a while before a new game came out, and it wouldn't be the case that an old license holder would have to just delete their game entirely.
No, that's the weird one. But and as you say, Tetris will always be around in some form or another. We haven't lost it to the annals, but this does happen to other games. This happens to one-off little indie games, and it happens to little gems. And, you know, we have to talk to people. On that big review of the year show that we did, when I was saying things like, what's the line drawing airplane game?
Flight Control.
And I have to explain that because you can't play it anymore.
Yeah.
And it's like, that was a really good game, man. And that's not there now. And it was a novel game. It was a game that was like, hey, it shows you what you can do with a touchscreen. And lots of other games have used it as a jumping off point, as inspiration. Mm. And you can't get it anymore. And that's weird and only going to get worse, I feel. We won't even cover it in the new releases because it's Tetris. You can play it. It looks exactly the same, pretty much. Maybe it has more endgame stuff. I don't know. But yeah, you can get it right now. But RIP Tetris. Long live Tetris. Out and about this week. So I was able to catch up with a few games yesterday afternoon and this morning. And I'll start with what I think is the pick of the crop, which is Grand Mountain Adventure. Mm. Now, this is a new release, inverted commas, because actually it's been out on Android since last year. But it's only just made its way over to Apple. So you can get it on iOS now for free. You can unlock other things in the game, and I think you can pay money for it. But the general gist of this one is it is a lovely little skiing / snowboarding adventure thing where you swoosh off down the slopes, and it seems to be trying to mimic as much as it can actual real slope experience, right down to reaching the bottom and then having to kind of scooch on over to the lift to take you back up to the top of the slope to do another track.
Yeah.
How did you find this?
I was a bit conflicted at first. Mm-hmm. The controls are a bit when you begin, particularly if you hold it down too long and then the camera whips round and you're spinning around and it's like, oh God, bit of motion sick inducing.
Really?
Yeah, I was a bit like, oh geez, this is a bit much. It's very swooshy and feels a bit loose when you start playing it.
Oh, I like the swooshy though.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, as I was playing it a bit more, I really got into it. Right. And then you start getting used to the like going back and forth to keep your speed up as a skier. I got to the first actual race, and then I had the volume on and the soundtrack kicked in. It's like, oh wow, this is actually amazing.
Yeah, so the camera's pulled back really far. It's done in a very sort of almost lifelike-looking 3D. They've done a really good job with the snow and the snow trails and whatnot that it leaves. It almost has a slightly tilt-shift aesthetic to it, where everything looks really tiny like a miniature. Yeah. But the way that you control it is not by holding a button to go down or increase your speed. It wants you to shoop. It wants you to go shoop, 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 like in skiing. So you tap left, right, and that's how you get started. And so you kind of scooch your way down, like you see on the skiing. And it gives you virtual lines to show you where the course are. You need to stay inside the lines in order to complete the track. If you drift out, then you fail the track. But it doesn't like black screen and then start at the bottom. Mm. You then have to make your way down to the bottom of the slope and then hop into the little ski lift and go all the way up. And it's like open world. The mountain itself is a place that you can explore. And you'll go up to certain lifts and it'll be like, you haven't unlocked that track yet, so you can't get up. You need to go and redo these ones or increase your top score. So basically make it down the slope as quickly as possible in order to unlock the next bit. And then you have, I think, about 8 mountains, they said, to explore, and there are like 100 challenges and whatnot. I was really impressed.
Mm.
It looks good, it feels good, it's got quite a tranquil vibe. It does make you feel like you're exploring. The races are more like, right, here we go. But you know, just you swishing down the slopes with the music. It's very nice and chill.
Did you play it with volume on? That's my...
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah. Did you notice the adaptive soundtrack?
Oh, as in depending on what you're doing and how fast you're going?
Yeah. So it changes, like, it'll play a little note every time you pass through a gate, but obviously that's not tied to the song. It's just when you go through. But it changes, so it doesn't, like, make just a random noise. It makes a noise that fits in with the soundtrack, and it adapts to, like, where in the soundtrack you are.
Very good.
To what note it plays. It's very nice. And then, like, the sound will go, ooh, as in, like, when you're doing a big jump or that kind of thing, and just sort of phase out and phase back in again. And I think that is probably what swung it for me, is because, like, when you finally get into a race and you're just going through that and you just got the audio feedback on it, is just beautiful in its own way. And then that whole experience kind of wraps together into something really clever and unique.
Well, the first tracks that you play are very just, you know, it's all snow and you're drifting down, it's nice and easy. Later on, you start to hit bits where there are just exposed bits of mountain you have to jump over, and it gets a little bit more, you know, and you can do jumps and it gets a little bit stunty and whatnot. But the idea is you can play the first mountain for free, and then you can unlock the rest of the game with an in-app purchase. I'm not sure how much it is.
It's $4.99.
Okay, all right, that's proper money. But I was really impressed. It's got a lot of polish. It's nice to see it come over to iOS, and so they've obviously had a chance to, you know, test it out on the Android marketplace and deal with some updates and feedback. And it's gone straight to... It's currently sitting at number 2 in sports. It was at number 1, and the ratings are already like 800 ratings. It's 4.6 stars on the App Store. It's done very, very well. And I think from what I've played, it deserves it, and it's going to stay on my phone for a bit. So Grand Mountain Adventure is the name of that one. I know it's old news if you're on Android, but grab it on iOS if you fancy. Sticking with sports for a moment, the New Star Soccer folks are back with Retro Bowl, which is, if you want to do the slug line, it's New Star Soccer but American football.
Yeah.
With pixel art. And weirdly, now I'm not a big Football Manager fan or football fan in general, right? Mm-hmm. So this is not a game that's made for me. And while I played New Star Soccer because it was such a big thing for such a long time, I was like, eh, this was more fun than New Star Soccer?
Wow.
That's
a bold, bold claim.
Now, it's for a couple of reasons. So A, I grew up in a house where American football was on the TV. Because my older brother was really into it. So it being an American football thing, I was like, all right, I kind of get this. B, American football is a very stop-start game. More so than football. Bad football is stop-start. Everyone falls over every 5 seconds. But American football is very much stop-start, stop-start. So it almost suits the, you know, like a turn-based thing, which works very well. And these Football Manager games are all about you watching, like, oh, he's got the ball, like bits of text on screen, and someone does a pass and someone does a throw, remember, and then you play a little bit, you play like one turn, if you like, of the game. And in the case of this, you have options of what you want to do. You can take control of the quarterback and you can, you know, throw to the dudes who are going to be heading off towards the end zone. But what they'll do, the way they present it on screen, is kind of like a god's eye view, top-down, pixel art style, and they'll show you the track and the destination of where your dude's going to run. So it'll be a little green line coming out of your forward runners to say, like, he's going to run here and then go here and wait here. And so then what you do is you tap on your quarterback and you will pull back Angry Bird style and try and aim for the place where he'll be or aim for the place he's running to. And when he makes the catch, if he makes the catch, that's a very nice feeling.
Yes. Yeah.
And that was a bit like, ooh, hang on, that's nice. I want to do that again. And I never really got that from like taking corners or shooting the goal stuff in New Star Soccer. The game bits seemed very token and it was much more about the management. Whereas this feels like the actual game bits, because you can not only that, once a player's got the ball, you can swipe up or swipe down to make them dodge up or down, left and right to avoid being tackled. There's a few things where it's like, actually the playing of this is nicer,
yeah,
and feels like quite tactical. And then on top of that, you've got all the management stuff, which immediately makes my eyes glaze over, but I know will probably be the real draw for people who are into it. What did you think of this?
I think what you're saying about the actual like gameplay, and I've been trying to think about like why does it feel different from other games, and I think if you're playing like a football game in general, you will just sort of tap a button and it will kick the ball, and then you hope that somebody is in the right place for it.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing. even in American football games like the Madden series, it's usually just a case of I'm going to press this button to throw it to this person and hopefully they'll get it and then maybe I'll play some more. This is very much like you need to be aiming it in the exact right place at the exact right time. And it's not really a matter of chance. It's a matter of are you skilled enough to properly throw it into their hands?
Yeah.
And I think that's an experience that like very few games have managed to get in sports. But designed for a small device for my stupid thumbs to play.
And to reiterate, it is just you're playing little sections, little sections of the game. You don't play a full game and you're not controlling all the members of the team or anything like that. So
you only play when you attack. There's no like defending or anything like that. So it's literally just the case of you see the play, you make your move, you can throw it or you can go for a run. And then you dodge and swipe to throw down for a touchdown and that kind of thing. And there is a kicking aspect as well.
Yeah, you got the conversion at the end if you want to.
But it just feels so good. It just feels really nice to play. And like the euphoria of landing a touchdown is really wild. Like with my third touchdown in the game, I was like, yes, got it. Absolutely nailed it. I was like, what a play. Oh, I threw it at that guy and there was nobody there. He juked and he stiff-armed and then he jumped down. It was just like, oh, I'm really into this. And I don't like sports at all. So it's quite a surprise that it's like manages to get me feeling that way. But I think it is that sort of like you feel so much part of the game that when it all goes to plan, it really, really works.
The way that this one works is it'll let you play 5 games. And then that's it. You download it for free, play the 5 games. And then after that, if you want to carry on playing, it is a 99p unlock or 99 cents. And then it gives you the full game and you're left to it. So there's no reason not to try it if you like the new Star Soccer business. And obviously the management stuff, I didn't get deep into it because it takes a while. Don't know what the long game is, but Retro Bowl is the name. And I would suggest taking a look at that one. Also out, we've got Tanny Nanny, which is a name that does not stick in my head. I've been trying to remember all morning. And this is a little pixel art quasi-platformer, but really it's a puzzler, and it puts me in mind of Framed. So you get presented with different segments of a level, and you've got these two little creatures. I'm going to guess one is called Tanny and one is called Nanny. And the idea is they wander around left and right of their own accord, and they'll turn when they hit a wall. And each level has, or at least the first, say, 10 levels, has a little crystal, a little diamond on it somewhere. And you want to collect the diamond, and then you want Tanny and Nanny to meet. You want them to walk into each other. And then they will celebrate, and you will win the level. But the level is presented side-on on a grid, and you shuffle the grid around, the different segments of the level, to rearrange it so that they can be in the same place and run into each other. Or you move a bit of the level up so that they can walk over onto a platform that's high above them. So you literally drag that section of the level on the grid up to the next grid point. So if you've played Framed or something like that, which was all about rearranging comic book panels to get a character to run smoothly through them to the bottom, that's kind of what this is, but the objective is slightly different. Rather than dealing with that one character, you're dealing with two characters and trying to get them to smush to the same place. And what it encourages you to do is get them to meet in as few moves as possible while still getting the crystal. That's kind of the challenge of the game. It actually does it well. It's another pixel art lo-fi thing. It's presented quite small in the middle of the screen. And it got my brain thinking. And it was quite nice when they did meet up. And you're like, yes, I am smart now. And then move on to the next one. It's not very fast-paced. There is a time limit in some of them. I think it tries to get you to do it within like 30 seconds or something. So the pressure does get on towards the end. They can fall from platforms onto lower platforms, but they fall really slowly. And I don't know if that's supposed to build tension or give you a chance to move something else around, but I found it like infuriatingly. I was like, fuck, this is like, they're doing this on Mars where it's like incredibly low gravity. And it's all very small. It's very slight on the screen. It's not like visually particularly impressive. And Tanny and Nanny are just these sort of tiny little purple lumps with eyes. So they're not especially cute or anything like that. So I think it's a bit bare bones in its presentation. But the concept is good. And it feels, you know, nice to move them around. And I do like puzzles. This is a thing that I enjoy. So I'm all right with it. It's pretty good. I'm just going to check the price now because I don't know if it's a. Oh, it was on Steam for £4.50. Let me see if it's on the app box. There we go. Usually I'd have looked these things up.
This is stellar podcast.
I'm leaving it all. No, I'm leaving it all in. I'm sorry. It's after PGC. This is the speed at which my brain's moving. $3.99 or £3.99, which is quite a lot.
Yeah.
Actually, for this little tiny thing. However, let me see. 120 handcrafted levels. There you go. Don't know how long it's going to take. I sort of smashed through the first five levels in about 5 minutes. But easy stuff to begin with. It gets much more complex later on. I can just see from looking at the level designs up here that it gets dead busy. And it's smart. So you can get this right now. iPhone, iPad. I don't know if it's Android or not. But yeah. £3, $3.99 for Tanny Nanny, all one word. I think that's it this week. It's going to be a slightly shorter one because we're catching up like everybody else is, frankly. Despite being right up in the middle of the whole industry, you're sort of locked in this little bubble for 2 days and then traveling for the rest of it. But there's a load of video interviews I've done with different developers and publishers and stuff, which will go up on PG Biz. Plus, the talks from the show will eventually go up. I don't know if we ever really mentioned that, but when we do the tracks at PGC, we record all of the talks that developers and everybody does. And they'll go up on PGC. They're only filmed on GoPros, but they've got decent sound quality. And so if you're interested in literally any aspect of the games industry, there is a video, probably several videos for you, up on the PG Biz channel. So if you want to know how games are funded, how they're made, how they're monetized, how what Crunch is all about, like UI, user acquisition, anything, we've got it up there in some capacity. So I advise you, those of you with an interest, go and check it out. But we'll return with a slightly more high energy show next week. In the meantime, thank you for listening. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.